Well, good morning again.
Morning.
It's good to be back with you this week. If you were not with us last week, it's good to meet you for the first time. My name's Gerald, and my wife Tiffany and I are from the other side of the river, from down at Greenwood. And a little over a year ago, I stepped down from the church I was pastoring at Glendale Baptist Church in Boonville, and I've been filling in over the last year at different churches and have been teaching at Greenwood High School as well. And it's always a joy to meet folks and to be able to share God's Word with them. And that's my purpose here today, is to lead us to continue worshiping through this service as we study from God's Word. So let's take our Bibles this morning and let's be turning to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we will be in the fourth chapter. Last week, we were in the book of Titus in that second chapter, and one of the things we focused on was we should be learning some things from God's grace, and there are things that grace teaches. Now, we said of those things, one was how to live, the other was where to look, and the third of those was who we are. And when we talked about where to look, as we looked at Titus chapter 2 last week, it pointed us to our blessed hope, and Jesus being that blessed hope. And so I want us to think this morning about how we shouldn't give up hope. In fact, the title of my message is Don't Give Up Hope, and we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. In my 30-plus years of ministry, I've seen precious church people go through a lot. And, of course, none of us, we know, are immune to problems and distress in life. I've seen folks go through health issues that they were perfectly healthy, and out of nowhere, it seemed like now they were really just doing what they could to hold on. I've seen people deal with great loss, the loss of children, the loss of spouses and parents. I've seen married couples go through the tragedy of marriages which fell apart and ended in divorce. There's so many things that I've seen, and I've known that we've seen, things that we've gone through as people. I've learned that life can be stressful, that life can be trying, and that as believers, we are not immune to these things. In fact, it was Peter who, in one of his epistles, talked about it's better for us to suffer according to the will of God than to suffer for wrongdoing. And so sometimes we suffer, and this is part of life. Some things in life seem overwhelming. You may be in that place right now in your world where you are that there's some things that are just overwhelming to you. But in life, we know that it could be a task that's set before us that it just seems too hard. How are we going to do this? It could be there's a situation at work that keeps us up at night. It could be a strained relationship and there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. It could be a temptation to sin which may seem too hard to resist. It could be a loss of a job. It could be financial crisis. It could be a physical health issue. It could be a mental health issue that is painfully dreadful and things seem hopeless. In the early church and in many places today, people are persecuted for their faith in Christ. And there are people around the world today who are in jail solely because they have named Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are people whose families have abandoned them because of that. There are people who are facing death today in some countries because they are followers of Jesus. And so persecution continues to happen. Taking a stand for Jesus in the workplace can sometimes be overwhelming. When people are critical, taking a stand for Jesus in school, in your circle of friends, and bless our hearts, now we can say on social media, right? Taking a stand on Facebook for Jesus, persecution and people who criticize you, that can be overwhelming at times. Being a Christian in an ever-changing, ungodly society can be overwhelming. And some things are just exhausting. Sometimes we get to that place where we feel like we want to give up hope. But in such times, we need to remember our hope. And we're going to look at this in the scripture. Now, the context of our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul was writing one of his second letters. One of his letters to the churches. He was writing to the church at Corinth. The church, if you look back in chapter 1, if you want to hold your place there in chapter 4, you look back in chapter 1 and verse 7, you see the church had suffered. It says, "And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings." So this was a church that had participated in sufferings. Paul himself had suffered. If you were to read in that first chapter, verses 8 and 9, you would see that it was very difficult for them. Look at verse 8. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure." Boy, let's let that soak in for a moment. Here was, I like to call the Apostle Paul super Christian, okay? And the Apostle Paul and his team, they were burdened beyond measure. And it says, "above strength, so that we even despaired even of life." See, the Apostle Paul knew what it meant to have life turned upside down and to carry a big burden. It says in verse 9, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." So he knew who to trust. And here what we see is that Paul began to encourage the church that even though they were suffering, that they should not give up hope. And so now let's turn today to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 16. Verses 16 through 18. And I just lost my place. Did y'all ever do that? I was studying this and I put this together and I'm like, wait a second, something's not in the right place. All right, now this is where you talk amongst yourselves, okay? Give me just a moment. All right. There it is. It's verse 16. That's where I said, wasn't it? I was looking at the wrong verse 16. How many shades of red have I turned since I've been talking about that? Hey, I'm a human being, all right? There we go. Now we're down to verse 16. I was looking at verse 14. Verse 16. Here we go. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to meet together today. Thank you, God, that you do love us. Thank you that you have proven that by sending Jesus to be a sacrifice for us, to be a substitute for what we deserve. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes. Thank you for bringing conviction to us and drawing us into yourself. Thank you, God, for your great love. Thank you for your grace. Lord, it's my prayer today that if any among us are not followers of Jesus, then, Lord, you would show them how much you love them. And, Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts. Help them to turn to you. Lord, we ask that you would examine us now, each one of us, Lord. Show us, Father. Lord, show us our hearts. Show us our thoughts. And Lord, if there's anything in us that's offensive to you, Father, change us, lead us to be the people who you've called us to be. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And so I want us to think about three things this morning. And my focus is this, is that followers of Christ must learn to properly handle trials. As followers of Christ, we must learn how to properly handle trials and not give up hope. Okay, so let's think about that. So what are some things we need to know that will help us with that? Well, look, first of all, in verse 17, the one thing I want to take as a fact from what we pull from this number 17 is that believers may undergo trials. Believers may undergo trials. As Job said, now Job, we read about Job in the Old Testament. We know that that Job, he suffered some trials. I mean, he went through the ringer. And Job said, in Job 5, verse 7, he said, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." He said, man is born into trouble. We know that trials sometimes come to us. It could be as a result of the penalty of sin, and we all struggle with sin. It could be as a result of a persecution for our faith. It could be sometimes we face trials as discipline from the Lord. It may be that we face trials as a way to help us grow in our faith, and God's going to work through that. Or it may be for reasons that we don't even know, and we may never know. But we know that trials are real. And when life becomes difficult, when we suffer losses, when we endure health issues, no matter what it is, when life gets turned upside down, we sometimes don't know what to do. And so we want to know that these things do come. Paul described it here, verse 16, as our outward man, he said, our outward man is perishing. And so here we see trials may come. You see, even the Lord Jesus experienced trials. Our Lord was born in a barn. Our Lord was described by Isaiah when Isaiah the prophet prophesied about the Messiah and what the Messiah would experience. In Isaiah 53, he said that our Lord would be despised and he would be rejected of men. He said he would be a man of sorrows, that he would be acquainted with grief. He went on to say that he would be wounded, that he would be bruised, he would be oppressed, he would be afflicted, he would be cut off from the land of the living, he would be stricken. And yes, Jesus experienced those things. In Mark 8, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and it says in Mark 8, 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He began to prepare his disciples. This is what's going to happen. And he told them that he was going to die. In Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews, he described the sufferings of our Lord. In verse 10, he said, "For it was fitting for him," for Jesus, "for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Well, we know our Lord experienced trials. We know the Apostle Paul experienced trials. We know that the church at Corinth experienced trials. My friends, we do as well. And trials are real, and trials hurt us, but they don't have to destroy us. If you look in verses 8 through 10, look at verses 8 through 10 there in chapter 4. Notice what he says here. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed." Y'all know what perplexed means. That's when we say, what is going on? what is happening here? "We are perplexed," it says here, "but not in despair. Persecuted," meaning people turn against us. "We are persecuted, but not forsaken." Because the Lord is with us, right? "We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." You see, believers experience affliction. We undergo trials. Maybe that's where you're at today. You may be going through something that nobody else knows about right now. You may be going through something that you think no one would understand what I'm going through right now. Well, if that's your case, listen a little bit further. And even if it's not your case, listen further, because the Scripture tells us what we need to do. So believers may undergo trials. That's the first thing we see, number one, as we think about how believers must learn how to properly handle trials and to not give up hope. So believers may undergo trials. The second thing, number two, is that believers will, and notice I said believers may experience trials. Now we're going to see this. Believers will experience glory. Believers will experience glory. Look back here in these verses. He says in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This word glory here speaks to our eternal state. The Bible speaks of it as our reward, about us being with Jesus. Glory will be that eternity that we spend where the dwelling of God will be with men. Jesus described it in John 14 as a dwelling place in the house of God, a mansion. In Revelation 21, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." In 1 Corinthians 15, it's described as an incorruptible state, an immortal state, a spiritual state. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, we see it's to be present with the Lord. And back in Revelation 21, it says, "There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Y'all can throw in an amen right there if you want to. There you go, all right. See, glory will be that eternity. But we don't see glory yet. We read about it in the Bible. We get glimpses of what it's going to be like. We like to let our imagination go a little bit too with it. What's it going to be like? And we don't see it yet, though. And so it makes it a little bit difficult for us, because the stuff we're going through, the trials that we're facing, we can see those things. That stuff is right in front of us, but we don't see glory yet, but it is real. We are going through that process. We've been justified by the blood of Christ. We are being sanctified by Christ, and we will be glorified in Christ someday. We will go to be with him, but it's difficult sometimes to keep that unseen in mind. Man, when things get tough, because what we see is the world around us. But glory is real. It will be experienced. And we go back to our Savior for the example. Hold your spot there, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look over in the book of Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, he suffered. It says he was obedient. He was obedient to the point of death. In Philippians chapter 2, this beautiful picture of our Savior who suffered and then experienced glory. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death." He suffered for the kingdom of God to the point of death. It was his purpose to die, to go to the cross. But then it says in verse 9, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of earth, those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus himself suffered, and now he has been glorified. My friends, we too can look forward to glory, to be with Christ. Now, we're not going to have people bowing their knees to us like Jesus, but we will get to be with him and see him as he is, the Scripture says. Now, Jesus promised glory to his followers. He said to his disciples as he was preparing them for what was to come for him to go to the cross, he told them in John 14, 1, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he began to talk about the glory to come. And so he began to encourage them that they would experience glory. Well, believers may experience trials. Believers will experience glory. So what do we do with that? Even though we undergo trials, we need to understand that there is hope. And so if you are experiencing a trial right now, if you're undergoing something very heavy right now, let me just encourage you, don't give up hope. Let's keep listening. Let's keep going back to the Word of God and see what it says. Well, the next thing we see, number three, we saw, first of all, that believers may undergo trials. We saw, secondly, that believers will experience glory. And now, finally, number three, believers, what should we do with this? We must view our trials in the perspective of glory. Let's say that again. We must view our trials in the perspective of glory. Look what Paul says here in verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. This was said by the same man who described his suffering back in chapter 1 and verse 8, who despaired even unto life, who it was unbearable, that what he and his team were going through, his missionary team were going through, it was unbearable. And here he says, therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Notice how he describes their affliction. He says, our affliction, look in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, wait a second. There was one time the Apostle Paul was run out of a town, and the people picked up rocks to throw at him, to stone him, and they left him for dead. He survived, but they thought they killed him. And this, he endured that. But notice what he says here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And the Apostle Paul had other issues. He struggled. He had a thorn in his flesh where he asked the Lord, he pleaded with the Lord to take it from him. Three times, you remember the scriptures, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. This is all these things he went through that was seemed unbearable, but he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How can he say such things? You see, if our afflictions were for a lifetime, and for some people, they do suffer a lifetime of afflictions. And if our lifetime was as long as Methuselah's, it would still be momentary compared to eternity. James described our life and the brevity of our lives as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You may live 100 years, and you may suffer greatly, but it's only for a moment. You see, our affliction is fleeting and temporal, but our eternity, our hope, is forever. But notice he says our affliction is light, not light in themselves, because Paul knew what it was like, and Jesus experienced some great trials in his life, and these trials can be heavy, they can be grievous in our lives, but they are light comparatively. Light compared to, well, we could say, light compared to what we deserve. We could say light compared to what Jesus suffered on our behalf, but the context here is, it's our suffering is light compared to the glory that's awaiting us. And notice he describes glory here as a weight of glory. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you have precious stones and you add more and you add weight, it increases its worth. And the glory awaiting us is weighted far more exceeding than the weight of anything earthly or temporal. The weight of this glory, I believe, cannot be computed. You can't put a price tag on it. And the excellency of this glory is beyond verbal description. And here's what he's saying here. He says it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, the glory is not fleeting. The glory is not temporary, but it's divine and it is eternal. I want you to think of this. You know, those of us who work outside the home, maybe during the week, maybe you work Monday through Friday, very possibly. You might have set hours you work during the week. Listen, we look forward to those things called Saturday, don't we? Yeah, we get so excited about Friday's coming, right? Yeah, in fact, I get so excited about it, I call Thursday, I call it Friday's Eve. I mean, it's amazing. And then I don't just call it Friday, I call it Fri-yay, okay? So we look forward to things like that, but you know what the difference is? Monday's always coming, right? Yes. And then you might get to take a vacation, but you know what's coming on the other side of that, right? But the difference here is we're looking forward to glory. We're looking at our trials through the perspective of glory, and what we're looking forward to will never end. We're not going to get to glory someday and think, oh no, now we've got to go back. Doesn't happen that way. You see, our affliction is light, but there is a mighty glory. Our affliction is but for a moment, but glory will be for eternity. Well, what do we do with these words today? What do we do with this passage? How does this apply? What we're going to do when we walk out these doors? As the body of Christ, what do we do with these words that the apostle has inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote to these people? I think it's very important for us to think about, what do we do with this? What do these words give us? They, of course, give us a reason we shouldn't faint, we shouldn't give up under trials or be overwhelmed by those things. It teaches us to look at these trials through glory, through the perspective of eternity. But it also reminds us that these present trials can produce a beneficial effect in us. We can learn to grow by these. We can learn to walk through these. We can learn to trust God through these. We can learn to hold on to be a people of hope. And so if we firmly grasp these truths today, much of that bitterness that we have, much of that sorrow that we have, much of that strain that we have is going to be comforted, and it's going to help us through. So our response should be this: don't give up hope. You see, we said believers may experience trials. We said that we as believers, we will experience glory. And so we must look at through the perspective of glory. And that's my encouragement to you today. As we conclude this service in just a moment with a song, I hope you'll make it a time of reflection where you sing, and we're not just singing a song, which is the concluding song where you're starting to think about lunch, right? Let's don't do that. Let's think about the Lord. Let's keep thinking about the Lord. Here's what I want you to do during this time of reflection. Maybe you're at that place where you know that your faith needs increasing. Well, as we sing, ask the Lord, Lord, help me with my faith. It may be that you're going through something and you feel alone right now. As we sing in just a moment, turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me know that you're there. Lord, help me to be assured of your presence. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Well, let me encourage you to do as the Scripture says, as we reflect, and to cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll step down, and we will get ready to sing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity again to study from your word. Thank you that your word is living and active, that it is powerful, that it is life-changing. Because God, that's who you are. You are the Almighty God. You are on your throne. You have all power and authority over all things. And so, God, help us to trust you. Help us to be comforted in you. Lord, I pray as we meet here today, if there's any who are struggling, who are undergoing trials and undergoing some great burdens, Lord, I pray that you would help them. I pray, Father, you would draw them closer to yourself, Lord, to give them that sweet comfort that they need. And God, I pray that in all these things, as we respond to you, as we see you do things, Father, I pray that we would give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Because God, we acknowledge that we're here for you. And Father, I pray that you would be honored as we say that, as we believe that. And as we get ready to sing, Father, I pray that it would be a sweet time of worship and a time where we reflect and ultimately turn our hearts towards you. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. May God bless you.